This is Maureen St. Germain, and this is Higher Self Classes. We're going to begin with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, Mother God, we give thanks for the opportunity to be in this place of service to one another and to our own higher self. We ask for the presence of the entire angelic realm, the Elohim, sun centers, the ETs of the light, the dolphins and the whales. We offer ourselves in service to the Great White Brotherhood, and we ask that all of the work that we do at this time be in the center of our hearts and in the center of the reality. We ask that our hearts and our minds be unified. We ask our higher self to come in a little bit closer. We ask for the presence of the Ascended Masters, the Hathors, our own guides, and all beings of 100% God light to step in and assist us with this process this day. We further invoke the presence of the grid and matrix that travels with me for this teaching and for this work, so that each of us are fully plugged in, whether we can identify it or not. We ask the higher self of each one of us to come in a little closer, and that we connect at the higher self level, that I might be of service to each one as the facilitator, and that collectively we're in service to one another at the higher self level, at whatever that may mean. We ask for the higher self of each one to stay connected to me for the purpose of this class and until we're complete here and this night, so that I might serve perfectly as the facilitator. We ask for the four directions, north, south, east, and west. We call the energy of the north the energy of contemplation and rejuvenation. It is the place where we prepare ourselves for change. We call in the energy of the south, the energy of rapid growth and abundance of every good and perfect gift. It is a place where we have abundance of every good and perfect gift. We call in the energy of the east, the energy of new beginnings and new understandings. It is a place of birth and rebirth. And we call in the energy of the west, the energy of reaping the rewards of our efforts. It is a place where we have found our center and we use it. And it is the place of infinite love and gratitude. We call in the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. We call in the earth for clarity and grounding and a connection to Mother Earth. We call in the air for expansion and flow and the connection to Father Sky. We call in the fire for passion and compassion, transformation and transmutation. And now would be an ideal time to light your candle if you have not yet lit it. And we call in the water for conductivity and flow and the full penetration of the light of God, the Hagia Sophia. We ask for most benevolent outcome this night, and we ask for and claim an evening of heaven on earth for all, for everyone we come in contact with. Now, if you would kind of get yourself situated where you're comfortable, if your legs or arms are crossed, please uncross them. You'll have your candle at a place where it's comfortable and you don't have to worry about it. And we are plugged in and connected to Mother Earth and Father Sky. Now, no matter what your experience with your higher self has been, we are now going to go into a guided meditation where we are going to take you through a process. So all you have to do is keep your eyes closed and follow along. So the first part is where I want you to think of a beloved infant or pet. And it's actually preferable if you can think of a pet, because if you've ever held your own pet or someone else's, and you can hear yourself say to this being, I love you, could be a horse, could be a little tiny cat, doesn't matter. But as you hold this being that can't talk to you, but shows affection and shows up, when you hear yourself say, I love you, to this being, and you say the being's name, your heart opens. And you can feel what that feels like. So take a moment right now and do that. And pick a pet or an infant, 3 months or younger. And allow yourself to say, I love you, to that being, in your thoughts. And say it over and over. And you can now feel your chest physically change. Now I want you to assign a word to that feeling. The word might be something as simple as heart love. Could be the color of green, the color of the heart chakra. You could name it pink or red, colors often associated with the heart. You could give it a funky name, like my inner beloved or kaboom, it wouldn't matter. But every time you're ready to open your heart, do this exercise. Saying the pet's name or the infant's name over and over, and I love you. Feel your chest expand and then say that magic word you've assigned. This is your own word that you assign to this feeling. Now we invite the higher self, which generally resides about 6 feet above the head. We invite the higher self to come in closer, and we ask the higher self to move into the heart. And at this point, all of your consciousness is already in your heart because of the work we've just done. And the heart chakra is the lowest place your higher self can come to. So we're inviting the higher self to join us in the heart. Now, make a clear intention by asking your higher self to work with you. And I'm going to give you some very clear statements that I want you to repeat after me in your thought, but literally say each word in your head. And if you want, you can say it softly to yourself. I'm calling in my higher self to be with me in my heart. I'm asking my higher self to assist me in growing my awareness and my understanding of the higher self connection. I'm asking my higher self to help me to understand the language of the higher self. Teach me to understand this language. I will show up and practice. So, higher self, to that end, give me a symbol or signal for yes. What does yes look like? What does yes feel like? What does yes sound like? What does yes smell like? What does yes sense like? Higher self, give me a symbol or signal for no. What does no look like? What does no feel like? What does no smell like? What does no taste like? What does no sense like? Higher self, give me a symbol or signal for neutral. Higher self, what does neutral look like, sound like, taste like, feel like, sense like? Now, we want to give the higher self a chance to show us something more. Higher self, show me how much I am loved. All right. Give thanks for the higher self and the presence of the higher self. And we ask our higher selves to stay with us throughout this class, throughout the remainder of this day. Bring yourself slowly to your awareness, making yourself aware of the physical surroundings around you. And open your eyes when you're ready. All right, so Let's start with each person here, Linda and Angie.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to report in to me. Did you get any symbols or signals for your higher self? Yes and no.
This is Linda. No,
okay.
I didn't.
You got absolutely nothing.
I think so.
Okay. And Angie?
Neither did I.
Okay. All right. Well, this is why you guys get me one-on-one. We're going to do another meditation right following. Now, I'm going to tell you that it is my opinion that I want to say three things about this, and I want each both of you to listen carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, most people do get something, and they often dismiss it because that's not good enough. For example, in one class, a woman got an itchy ear, and as the ear started to itch, she noticed it, and she told her body, stop that. So then her foot started to tickle, and she began to notice her foot. She told her body, stop that. And then her whole body started to itch. And she said, okay, I get it. I'll take the itchy ear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there may have been something that you experienced that you dismissed because you have judgment. So one of the biggest things that I want each of us to do is to work on our issues around judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look at this, I'm going to pull out arrow mandalas. And I am going to use the one for judgment, on self-judgment, which is called shame. And I'm going to put it on for all of us. I'm going to put it on myself, but I'm intending that we all get the benefit of it. And it also means that we have, there's lots of reasons why we have shame. We're not going to get into why. We don't care why, actually. We're just going to clear it. Now, there's the next thing, and I know you may have a question, but I need to get it all out. Otherwise, it's channeling right now.
Okay.
So I apologize. I can feel that you have a question. Make a little note for yourself, and I'm doing the same, by the way, so that I can make sure I cover it. They're showing me all this stuff. I'm going, oh, my God, I got to get this down. I've got to find Okta. Oh, here it is. Okay. There's 24 of them, and I'm thinking, I usually pick it up right away. All right. So Okta Clear Shame for self, for gender, for nationality, ethnic group, the whole bit. So here we go. I'm intending that each of us feel the effects of it. Whether or not you can smell it, I don't know. All right, now, the second reason why you might have a block or an inability to send or receive is being tapped into the current systems. So, in other words, if we believe that we have to go to college to get a good job or that our kids have to go to college to have a good job, we believe we have to have this thing or that thing. We believe that we have to stay where we're at. For example, when one of my sons was quite young, he really liked cheese. And he taught me his word for cheese. And it was ga, G-A. He couldn't talk yet. But he knew every time I gave him cheese, he would call it ga. So one day, he comes to me and he says, ga, mama, ga. And I got up and I pulled out some cheese out of the refrigerator and I handed it to him. And it was very obvious that we had made communication. Now, if you have ever seen the movie of Helen Keller, where she discovers that water and water are the same, it's like an Academy Award winner. And the comprehension of a young child who's deaf, dumb, and mute, can barely get words out, to make that connection with the water and the word was phenomenal. And we all know that she went on to accomplish many, many great things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a reason why I'm telling you these stories is because I want to give you a reason to believe that what we're about to accomplish is doable. And the third thing I want to tell you is I was like you guys. I knew it was possible in my head to connect
mm-hmm.
with myself. But I had no ability to see or feel anything that I was comfortable saying, yeah, I got it. Now, 20 years ago, when I decided to give myself this training, there was no teacher teaching it. So
mm-hmm.
I did this with my own prayer work and with my own connection, asking to be taught, knowing that it was possible, but not knowing how.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you a secondary tool. This secondary tool that we're going to do next is one where it would be best if you were laying down. So please now go prone on your couch or your comfortable lazy boy chair. Get as close to being flat on your back as possible. And if
okay.
you don't have anything like that, then get on the floor.
Right.
Okay. There's one other thing while you're getting settled. I'm going to talk some more.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with food choices. One of the fastest ways to shortchange yourself in terms of your connection with your higher self is to make choices with regard to food that will hold you back. So if you are a person who likes to have any alcohol at all, I recommend that the nights you're going to do these kind of classes, don't have any. And try to give yourself 24 hours of no alcohol so that your body is not compromised. When we have alcohol, we are putting holes in the aura. A glass or two of wine or a glass or two of beer usually doesn't do it, doesn't make for a huge bit of damage any more than opening your door to let your neighbor in is going to let a bunch of flies in at the same time. Probably not. But if you have more than that, if you have it on a daily basis, then yes, it will, because it's like propping the door open. So keep that in mind. Secondly,
mm-hmm.
an excess of caffeine will also cause you to not have a higher self-connection. And this is very interesting. A cup of green tea has just the right amount of caffeine to move your consciousness a little bit back behind its normal place of residence, which actually improves your connection because you're actually then in direct alignment with your pranic tube. That's one way to do it. So the amount of caffeine is found in a half a cup of coffee. So suddenly even that cup of coffee becomes too much. And finally, of course, a cappuccino or anything like that would not be a good idea either. And, you know, if you are drinking coffee on a regular basis at the morning hour when everyone else is drinking coffee, I recommend you change your habits. There are three primary things that put people, tie people to the mass consciousness feed
mm-hmm.
that holds people back. And the first one is coffee, because it's become part of the morning ritual, especially in the West. The second thing is the news feed. So when you have to turn on the morning news to listen to what's going on, or the morning weather to catch the weather, it stands in the way of your progress and your success. And thirdly, the last one has to do with how you run your day. If you're in some kind of mass consciousness system, either going to work in a rush hour traffic or anything like that, you have to consciously choose to raise the vibration of yourself enough that the others don't interfere with you. And it's kind of like, which came first, the cart or the horse? So what we're going to do next is we're going to take you through a very tangible physical exercise that will kind of work ahead of this. So the last part of this piece that we're going to do next is the piece that I did for myself. I taught myself this. I thought up the exercise and then taught it to myself as a way to train myself to teach my higher self what my symbol for yes was, like my son taught me his word for cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So with yourself completely relaxed, keep your eyes closed from this point forward for the next 5 or 10 minutes. So both of you are comfortable and with your feet flat, and not flat on the floor, but I mean your legs are flat and your eyes are closed and you're comfortable. You can even have a little blanket over you, but don't fall asleep on me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want you to put all of your attention on your right hand. Put all of your awareness on your right hand. And think of your right hand. Don't move it. Just think of it. And as you think of it, then I want you to allow your awareness of your right hand to become stronger. And as the awareness of your right hand becomes stronger, I want you to expand that awareness now from your right hand to your right elbow. And it's almost like you're tracing a line between your right elbow to your fingertips of your right hand, and from your fingertips to your right elbow and back again. And now you can feel that part, your forearm to your fingertips, it feels just a little more alive. Now from your fingertips to your elbow to your shoulder. And then from the shoulder to the elbow to the fingertips, fingertips, elbow to shoulder, and back. And it's like you're coloring it in with your energy awareness. And you're putting all of your awareness on your right arm. And now expand that and include from your right shoulder to your right hip. And draw a line from your right hip to your right shoulder to your right fingertips. And trace that line up to your shoulder, down to your hips, from your hips to your shoulder to your right fingertips. And as you trace that back and forth with your thought, there's definitely an awareness of the right side. And now, fingertips to right shoulder, shoulder to right hip to right knee. From the knee to the hip, hip to the right shoulder to the elbow, elbow to the fingertips. Fingertips to the elbow, elbow to the right hip, to the knee on the right side. Knee, hip, shoulder, elbow, fingertips, all on the right side. Fingertips, elbow, right shoulder, right hip, right knee, down to the right foot. And from the right foot to the right toes. From the toes to the ankle, to the knee, to the hip, to the right shoulder, to the elbow, to the fingertips. Fingertips, right elbow, right shoulder, right hip, right knee, right ankle, right toes. One more time. Toes, ankle, right knee, right hip, right shoulder, right elbow, right fingertips. Notice how the right side of your body feels more alive, louder, if you will, different, subtle, but different. And can you feel the difference as you notice how charged up your right side feels compared to your left? And just make a mental note of how that feels, allowing that to be very there very powerful, very strong. All right, now, tell your higher self, please come in closer. Higher self, this is my symbol for yes. And notice that everything on the right side feels just a little more energized, a little more alive, a little more awake. A little more loud, however you experience it. There's definitely that energy is there. One more time, higher self. This is my symbol for yes. Higher self. Thank you. Now, unhook from the toes to the ankle, from the ankle to the knee, from the knee to the hip, from the hip to the right shoulder to right elbow to the fingertips. Just unhook with that. And if you need to, do it again. Unhook from the toes, ankle, knee, right hip, right shoulder, right elbow, right fingers. And then notice that your body feels the same on both sides. Now put all your awareness on the left side and start with your left hand. And put all your awareness on your left hand and pretend you're seeing your left hand. Your left hand is suddenly feels bigger than it was a second ago. And your left hand feels more alive than it was a second ago. Feels like there's more energy in it. And now move that awareness, expand that awareness up your left arm to the left elbow. Now, from the left elbow back to the fingertips, from the left fingertips, left wrist, left elbow, now take it up to the left shoulder down again to the elbow, to the wrist, to the fingertips, and back up from the fingertips up the elbow to the left shoulder, and expand it to the left side of the hip. From the left hip to the left shoulder to the left elbow, to the left side of your body. Now, grow it again. Fingertips to elbow, elbow to the left shoulder to your left hip to your left knee. Run that energy from your knee to your hip, hip to your left side, left shoulder to elbow, elbow to fingertips. Fingertips to elbow, elbow to shoulder to the left side, left side of the hip to the left knee to the ankle. Left knee to the ankle to the toe. Now all the way from the toe to the ankle, the knee, left hip, left shoulder, left elbow, left side of the hand, left hand. Now run that energy up and down the left side, up and down. Fingertips, elbow, shoulder, hip, knee, toes, toe, knee, hip, shoulder, fingertips. And notice how the left side of your body is more electrified, more alive, more full of love and energy and light. Now, notice the difference on the left side between the left and the right again, and announce to your higher self, please come in a little closer. Higher self, this is my symbol for no. Run the energy again from the toes to the knee to the left hip, up the left side, left fingertips, and notice that alive feeling, that sense of energy on the left side, is most certainly stronger, louder, more energized than the right. You can feel the difference. Higher self, this is my symbol for no. Okay. Now, let that go. Unhook from your left toe to your left ankle, from your left ankle to your left knee to your left hip to your left shoulder to your left elbow to left fingertips. Unhook again, toes, ankle, knee, hip, shoulder, elbow, fingertips. And now notice that both sides of your body feel the same. Thank you, higher self. Now, put your attention on your pranic tube. If you do not know what the pranic tube is, take a moment and imagine a fluorescent light bulb that sits in front of your spine. Where your spine curves in the small of your back, they're in the same spot. Otherwise, it sits directly in front of. So the back, spine, then the fluorescent tube, so to speak, and then your teeth, for example. This fluorescent tube is your pranic tube. It's about the circumference of your longest finger to your thumb. For most people. And it begins one hand length above your head. So for most people, that's 5 or 6 inches above the head. Extends through the perineum on both men and women, out below your feet, 5 or 6 inches again, the length of your hand. Now, see this pranic tube. And allow yourself to have this sensation that this is the light of you. And just have this elevator going up and down this pranic tube. It doesn't feel like anything really particularly special. It doesn't have any special quality other than it's not the other two signs that we've already figured out. And this quality of up and down the elevator shaft of your pranic tube. And when you feel like you've got that, and it could almost be a sense of nothingness, and that's okay. This higher self, please come in a little closer. This is my symbol for neutral. Higher self, this is my symbol for neutral. One more time, higher self. This is my symbol for neutral. Thank you, higher self. We're now going to put our awareness back in the present. So we give thanks to our angels and guides who helped us through this one exercise. You can resume whatever comfortable position you would like and open your eyes when you are ready. Now, were you able to feel those?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. You know, Maureen,
this is Angie, right?
Yes, this is Angie. I want to explain something. Initially, I assumed that the sign would be something like a yes or a no or a concrete symbol. And I didn't realize. Yeah, I thought.
But I did say color. I did say sensation. Yeah, I didn't say taste. I did say smell. But somehow you like.
Yeah.
I know. I'm teasing here, but I hope you hear that. But it's like the mind can't wrap its. You know, it's like we got to follow the rules of the convention. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's got to be a concrete symbol. So I don't recall really seeing anything for a yes, but for a no, I had two things. I had the smell of burning, and I could not believe that that was going to be my no. And I had felt the pain in my right hand, and I couldn't believe that that would be a no.
What was the last part?
A pain. There was a feeling of pain in my right hand.
And that was for the neutral or for the no?
That was for the no.
Mm-hmm.
I had two sensations for the no.
You had two symbols come in. Fabulous. Yes, it's so funny. And here's the thing, just to validate you.
Yeah.
In my case, I would have been happy with any of those, but I didn't get any of those. I was so full of the mental me.
Mm-hmm.
That was running the show,
yeah,
and you know, stepping into the conventions. You know, I mean, I'm the person who wore, you know, a male business. I say male, but you know, the female version of the male business suit every day to work. Blah blah blah. So fitting in was very important to me. So not only did I not get anything, but I was like, I had shut down whatever was even coming in. So that's spectacular that you had that. Now, did you have that the first time we ran the experiment, or the second when you had those?
No, I had it the first time. But as I said,
but then when
I
asked, did you get anything? You said no.
No. Yeah. Because to me that was concrete. It means well. What if that?
But I didn't use the word concrete. I didn't ask. Wait.
No,
I'm not sitting in judgment of you. I didn't ask for concrete.
Yeah,
and believe me, we're gonna use this material because it's so useful for other people. This you're just wonderful. And what about you, Linda? How did it go for you?
Yeah, I feel something when I ask the symbol for yes on the right hand side.
Okay.
I feel
good.
The heat. I feel the heat on the side of my thigh. You know, the leg, upper leg.
Aha. Uh-huh. Perfect. That's perfect. Okay. That's all you only need something that you can identify. That's mixed.
Okay.
That's just spectacular. And did you get anything? And I will tell you both. This is something that always cracks me up. I'll tell you some more funny incidents, but a lot of times people get someone announcing the word yes to them. And even those people, Angie, see, I didn't get anything. All I heard was a voice saying yes. And those people you wanna say, come on. So you know, there's even people who have stricter rules than you do.
Yeah,
and truly.
But tell me something, Maureen. Would it be the same sign, or do you ask every single time?
Well, those are good questions. The answer is very likely it will be the same sign. If, like Linda is starting with, the simplest form that we used in the second meditation, where we actually, you know, caused the body to vibrate a certain way.
Yes.
Then those are more likely to show up in a new form at some later date that is also useful. And it might even be something that she had been getting before but had dismissed. And when it comes in again, along with her symbol, her simplistic symbol for yes, she's going to get an aha. You know, for years, for over 3 years, I would land in a city, and I was traveling in a different city. Most years, I was in probably 40 to 45 different cities. So I was in a new city practically every weekend. And I would arrive in a city, and even if it was supposed to rain all weekend, I never looked at the weather, by the way, but the host would say to me, you know, it was supposed to rain all weekend, but the minute your plane arrived, everything's cleared off. It looks like it's going to be great. That's fabulous. You brought the good weather. After 3 years, I said to my guides, am I doing this? And they said, we have been waiting for you to figure this out. So I tell you this to encourage you that as you start to work with these simplistic symbols, the other ones that have been lurking in the background are going to show up again, and you're going to think to yourself, really? Really? That's it? That's it? That's all there is? But here's the thing, and this is so valid, so important, why we are to operate this way. We are moving to the place where we will be getting our information directly from source. And so you no longer have to remember anything. You no longer have to, quote, know anything. And I will tell you that when I got certified as a fundraiser, which is the equivalent or harder exam that you have to take, either the insurance exam or the broker's license to sell stocks and bonds, pretty heavy-duty testing, pretty heavy-duty knowledge. Most people don't pass it the first time. And I did. I did use my higher self on the questions I didn't know the answer. One day, a student who was taking an exam as a therapist, and she had the experience of knowing that she had to study before she sat for this next level, secondary level exam. And she wanted to know if she should take the test in this coming February, which was about 4 weeks away, or should she wait till, you know, the middle of March, when the next exam would be, 6 weeks later. And her guides were very clear with her and said, you should be taking it in February. And then she said, well, will I know enough? Will I be able to study enough to pass? And they said to her, you actually could pass it right now. And they said, how is that possible? And they told her, use your higher self.
Yes.
And she has a very good higher self connection, and her answer was, is that legal? And the answer is yes, because even if you were a medical doctor and you had your higher self connection going, and your higher self said, use this alternative remedy instead of that, that would be more accurate than your book knowledge. And that's where we're all going. And I've been doing that for the last 20 years. And I had a very determination-based focus that I wanted to learn it for myself, and I wanted to learn it so I could teach it to others. And I was as obtuse as they come. I did not get anything at all. And so I had to teach myself a made-up way, like we just did.
Yes.
And then teach that to my higher self, and then my higher self went from there. If you go ahead.
I enjoyed the second exercise because it allowed me to separate the two sides, get in touch with my complete arm and the right side, and then let go of that, and do the same for the left, and then do the same for the neutral. So would that be
an exercise that you would recommend so that we, how should I say, so that we refine our
the connection? And the answer is yes. And you're a very good student, because we're actually going to go through a protocol of steps that you're going to do, and you're going to make a commitment to yourself to do this every day for a practice period of 45 days.
Okay.
What I have discovered is that when you do something every day for 45 days, it's a known fact that your DNA changes every 45 days. So if you do something for 45 days, it is set in your system.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is I'm going to take you through the protocol in a few moments, and teach that to you, and then we'll do a closing prayer.
Okay.
That will allow you to know what to do and how to do it for 45 days.
Okay.
And we'll end tonight with that piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow we're going to learn about how to use the higher self and what to use the higher self for, and a lot more information about this business of working with the higher self and how it will absolutely change your life. Before we get into the protocol, though, we've been on the phone about 40 minutes or so. I don't know what my phone says, but I'm watching the clock. And what I want you to know is, do either of you need to take a break? Do I need to pause this? Okay, well, then let's keep going. All right. Now, the protocol is very, very lovely, and I will be sending this to you electronically.
Mm-hmm.
So no worries.
Okay.
If you want to take notes, you can, but for sure, I will take you through it. And then tomorrow, we will be reviewing it, because that'll be part of the part of the overall presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to find out tomorrow what the higher self is and what the higher self isn't. Tonight we're just going to go like into the practice, sort of like when you first sign up for a trainer. First they make you do all these exercises, and then they tell you what you're doing. So the 45-day period is at least 45 days or more. One of the things I found that it's nearly impossible to remember when you took a class, or how many days ago that was, and how many more days I have left. But if you know in advance when your end date is, it's very easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going on a trip. You don't pay it any attention how many miles you've covered. You just want to know how many miles there are till you're done.
Yes.
Okay. So from now until August 1st. Now, everything we're going to say, we're going to keep referring back to August 1st. If you, for practical purposes, if you're listening to this at a later time, whatever today's date is, just take a moment for yourself, look at today's date, do the math, and name for yourself your ending date for this practice. Now, I call it a practice period. It can be longer, but the minimum is 45 days, and you know why. Now, here are the rules, and there's only 7 of them. The first one. You may ask only yes or no questions. Only yes, no questions. 2, you may ask unimportant questions only. Should I take this route to work? Should I wear the red shirt? Now, even the word should is suspect. And so I'm going to tell you that tonight. And then tomorrow when we get more detail-oriented, I'm going to say using the word should is not appropriate. So even though we use it in common, colloquial language, you will not use the word should in your work. So when you ask your higher self, the question is more like, is it in my highest and best good to wear the red shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in my highest and best good to wear the brown shoes, like that. And you keep going for the answer till you get the yes. And when you get a yes, then you stop. You don't keep looking through all the other clothes that you really wanted to wear. Once you ask, number three, once you ask, you must follow through. Now, I'm deliberately going right through all of these, and I'm going to come back and go through them one by one. This way I can give you the overview, and then we're going to come back and go through them one by one. Once you ask, you must follow through, no exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So once you ask, once you've made the request of your higher self to give you the answer, if your higher self says no to you and you really wanted to do it, too bad. And furthermore, furthermore, we're going to get into this in a few seconds, only ask stuff you don't care about. And that we're going somewhere with this, and I'll explain why. Number four, if you have ambiguity, that is, you can't tell what you're being told, you know, like your higher self's mumbling to you, the energy isn't clear, the signal isn't clear, the signal feels muddy, abandon the question. If you can't get a clear answer, abandon it during your practice period. This is practice. This is not the real deal. Many of us want the higher self to be good. They want the higher self to be right, but they're not willing to look at it as a practice. Even the famous pianist, Van Cliburn, took lessons all the way through his adulthood. He didn't presume that he knew everything he needed to know. He didn't presume that he couldn't improve. Next, five, no really important questions that may be asked during your practice period. Now, this is quite comical. So, if you don't really care what shoes you're wearing today, and you're wearing a beautiful red outfit and you have a pair of favorite red shoes that you normally wear with this outfit, but you really don't care, and your higher self says wear some other shoes, then wear them. If, however, you're a clothes horse, that you love clothes and you love looking spectacular, and you're not likely to ever wear the wrong shoes with an outfit, then don't be asking your higher self. In my world, the issue was more a problem with something like chocolate chip cookies. And in the early days when I started this program, I had a love affair with chocolate chip cookies. And it wasn't a matter of if I would eat a cookie that if someone offered, it was more of a matter of how many or when. And so I didn't bother asking my higher self if I should have a chocolate chip cookie. I just ate them. And you should too, by the way. Finally, you have two more left. No predictive questions. Now, that's a very interesting thing, and a lot of people don't realize that they're asking predictive questions when they are. For example, an engineer asked me why it wasn't working for him, and I asked him for a sample. And he said, well, for example, on my way home from work, I ask my higher self if the light will change before I get to it. And I just laughed. I said, Peter, you're keeping score. I said, you really care about the answer. And he said, actually, no, I don't. I don't really care when I get home, whether it's 5 minutes sooner or not. And I said, yes, but you're keeping score. You're tracking whether or not your higher self is right by whether or not the light, you know, whether or not your higher self is right with the light. And he said, well, how else will I know? And the answer to that is the whole point of a practice period. You don't care. And if you start to care, then you've asked a question that you care about. It's really funny. So it's more like going to the driving range with a bucket of balls and your golf club, and you're just shooting ball after ball after ball after ball. You don't care how many balls you've whacked. All you care about are the ones that went where you want them to go. Or if you're a basketball player, you're sitting, you got a, you know, a bin full of balls, and you're just shooting hoops. Just watching yourself shoot hoops. You're not trying to play a game. You're just practicing your foul shot. Be aware that a practice period is not meant for scorekeeping. And so the predictive questions are very important, not allowed. And finally, you may not use any other form of divination during your practice period. No pendulums, no muscle testing, no kinesiology, no cards, none of that. Put it all aside. But you don't have to put it aside forever, just for 6 weeks.
Yes.
Now, at the end of that 6 weeks, your higher self connection is going to be so good, so awesome, so accurate, that using your pendulum really won't be an issue for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to explain why this works so well. Again, this is another one of those deals where I wanted to have a protocol and a way to teach it. And this is what I was given.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine for a moment, Linda, are you still there? I don't hear any heavy breathing on your side.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. Well, you're good. You're being very disciplined and very quiet, and I appreciate that. I'm just making sure you're still with me. Okay, so imagine for a moment that you have a therapy practice where you do body work or energy work on people, and you use oils, and you change your sheets, and you have appointments, and you have a lovely assistant who takes care of all of those details. You come in one day, and you say to her, from now on, I'm going to make all the appointments. And I'm going to order the linens, and I'm going to order the oils, and I'm going to, I'm even going to start doing my own dinner reservations that you used to do for me. What is she going to say back to you?
Well, she could say, you're firing me, or I don't, you don't need me anymore.
Yeah, or what am I supposed to do?
Or what am I?
Or she might laugh and say, yeah, right, like you could do all those things. But there's definitely a problem here because why are you doing something that she thought was her job, right?
Right, right.
Now, this is you and your ego. Every one of us has an ego whose job it is to keep us safe. What is the job of the ego? To teach us, to help us be safe. Now, how does your ego know what's safe?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, it's based on past experience, I guess.
Yes, it is. And that's mm-hmm. the exact answer I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So we use the past to predict the future.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know the past is no predictor of the future.
Right.
It's sometimes a likely predictor of the future, and certainly scientists use being able to repeat the same thing over and over as an indicator of the future. But in truth, there is no real way to predict the future. Now, we use our mind this way. Now, think about the word logic. And we all use the word logic, and we've even had arguments where we've said to someone, that's not logical. Now, what is our definition of logic?
I would say something that makes sense.
Right. It's a systematic way of understanding data that says that we'll get the same result each time
mm-hmm.
we do it.
Right.
So logic is also a system of predicting the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it is only one way. It is not the only way. Now, tomorrow we're going to get into the logical reason to always follow your higher self. So I'm just kind of going to leave that one out there hanging for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or next class, we should say. Not tomorrow. Next class, whenever that is.
Right.
Now, let's get back to you and your assistant. What if you came in and said to her, from now on, I'm going to empty all the garbage bins? She's going to say, great, do mind first. It's always full. And if you say, well, I want to start cleaning the bathroom, she'll say, you better get the men's room. It's always funky. And if you say, I'm going to start washing the windows, she'll say, get the ones in reception. They're always dirty. There's all those kids that are in the waiting room leaving a mess. Why does she not care about whether or not you do those jobs?
Good question.
Put yourself in her shoes. If you were the person who was good at all those other things, but you still had, you had the whole, you know, all of those duties.
So you
why
taken
would
over.
Yeah, you've taken over some duties that it's her pleasure to hand over to you.
Because she doesn't really care about those jobs.
That's right, she doesn't care.
So the reason she doesn't care is because, as you say, the other ones don't give her pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no value in them unless she's a former military that enjoys seeing a clean latrine, you know? There's no merit there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also like the ego. So what we're going to do is play and trick the ego into learning something.
Mm-hmm.
So your ego always uses past experiences to help you know whether this new experience is going to be safe. If you've ridden on a skateboard and you're over 45 and you did great, but one day you fell on your bum, you're probably not going to get on a skateboard again. You're just going to say, you know what, I don't think I'm as agile as
mm-hmm.
I was when I was younger. And that was a great experience, but I don't want to do that again. So you make a decision not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on historical data. Now, the same is true in relationships. You know, if you've been burned in a relationship, it's tougher to move forward in a new one. If you bought a car that was a lemon, no matter what brand it was, you probably don't want to buy that brand again because you just don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are asking about things your ego doesn't care about, it's not going to jump in and give you the answer. So for the person who loves to wear certain clothes a certain way, if she asks about the shoes, she really cares about what those, you know, that shoes with that pair of shoes with that outfit. So her ego's just darn good and ready to give her an answer because the ego's already got that part sorted out. That works. So many people, especially people who have been through any kind of control dramas or who were, you know, mistreated as children or were in very tightly structured environments, they're more likely to like to do things the same way over and over rather than not care about an outcome. So it's very important that we understand that when we allow ourselves to only pick things that we don't care about one way or the other, then the ego's not going to jump in and try and run the show.
Mm-hmm.
And by allowing yourself to ask a question where the ego doesn't care about the outcome, you create an experience where the higher self can come through with the answer, undiluted, undisturbed, unpermutated, not changed at all, comes through loud and clear. It's a bit like a phone call. At first, you don't know who it is. But after four or five phone calls with the same person, you begin to recognize them. You begin to say, hey, I know you. I recognize your voice. I recognize the way you say my name. Hi. How you doing, Angie? And
mm-hmm.
you know who it is. But the first few times, you have to learn that. So by putting yourself in a scenario where you don't ask any important questions, and you're only asking yes, no questions, and you now have symbols or signals for yes, no, and neutral that you can practice with. If you don't care about the outcome, it doesn't matter whether you practiced and were wrong. Now, because you're going to do this 30 or 40 times a day for 45 days.
Wow, 30, 40 times, okay.
You're going to be mm-hmm. shooting a lot of hoops. You're going to be, you know, hitting a lot of balls. And you're not going to notice all the misses. What you're going to notice is all the ones that landed and produced something awesome. And the landed and producing awesome results are quite spectacular. For example, you've been thinking about some friend that you haven't seen in ages, and you're not even sure where they are, and their phone number got changed, and you don't have their email, and you are setting up lunch with another friend, and you ask her where she wants to go, and she doesn't care, and you don't care. And then she says, well, I picked last time you pick. So you just kind of run a few ideas across your head, and you say, okay, do we go to the salad place? Do we go to the Chinese food or the juice bar? And your higher self says, Chinese food. Again, you're asking yes, no questions with each. Should we go to the salad bar? No. Should we go to the Chinese place? Yes. Okay, so you can stop at the Chinese place then. All right, mm-hmm. So now you're going to go to that place. You show up, and lo and behold, the friend that you've been thinking about and wanting to get a hold of is there.
Mm.
Yeah, and you'll get tons of synchronicities.
Wow.
That show up all the time. And it's so cool. For example, let's say you're in the grocery store. You ran into the grocery store because you needed a couple of ingredients for the dinner you're making tonight. You're not really there to get a full shop. You're not there to get any sales. You're just there to get one or two things. You walk by the lemons and you think, I need lemons for this recipe, and I didn't remember that I needed, but I do need lemons. I better buy some. But you could also ask your higher self, do I have lemons at home that I could use? You don't want to say, do I have lemons at home, because you might have lemons at home that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you just want to say, you got to make, this is another thing we're going to get into tomorrow night on how to ask those questions to get the maximum benefit. Higher self, do I have lemons at home that I can use in this recipe? Yes. Higher self, is there any reason I need to buy lemons tonight? No. Great. Let me go to the quick checkout. That's it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you as a mother, there were many times if my boys weren't home when they were supposed to be home by curfew, that I would check in with my higher self and ask, are they okay? Yes. Do I need to be worried? No. Are they going to be home on time? No. Is there anything I can do about it? No. Is it in my highest best good to go ahead and go to bed? Yes.
Wow.
What single mother could go to
mm-hmm.
sleep?
Mm-hmm.
With her kids out there, unless the higher self gave you that information.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty okay. amazing.
Yes, it is.
So, for 45 days, you are not allowed to ask any important question. Now, I want to go back over the list and review it. There's no question. So from now until August 1st, for those of us who are participating in the middle of May, we're only to ask yes, no questions. You may only ask unimportant questions. If you don't care about the jewelry you wear with this particular dress, you can ask your higher self, higher self, am I to wear this jewelry? Yes. Really? Yes. Okay. One day a lady came in the second day of class, and another lady was kind of looking her over. You know how women do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the first lady looked at her and kind of dropped her eyes a little and said, don't ask. My higher self dressed me this morning. And it's really kind of cute because she knew it wasn't a great combination, but she was willing to play.
Mm-hmm.
And she also got a good laugh out of it. Okay.
Okay.
Once you ask, you must follow through. And if you're not so sure you'll do what your higher self says, then make the decision at the ego level and move on. It just simply means it's a question you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge whether it's important or unimportant. Even though I'm saying unimportant only, the truth is chocolate chip cookies shouldn't be important. But at the time, they were to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not asking my higher self. I'm just going to have some. today. yeah, go ahead.
Maureen, and this is for, it's to allow us to accept the response. And to go ahead and do what we've agreed to do. So
that is right.
That's why it has to be not important. Okay.
Exactly, exactly. And accept the response, it isn't exactly the way we want to word this. It's
okay.
More accurate to say it's a choice, it's
mm-hmm.
a choice.
Okay.
To ask the higher self and follow through.
Mm-hmm.
So the acceptance has been made before you ask the question.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you, this reminds me of the time my husband does, when I drive, my husband does the navigating, and sometimes he kind of overdoes it. So a lot of times when I'm feeling ambivalent about, you know, the driving, I'll say, honey, where would you like me to park? And every once in a while he'll say, oh, I don't care, park wherever you want. And then I will park where I want. And, of course, you know what he does. He'll tell me, oh, you know, blah, 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 this part mm-hmm. isn't so, where you're parking isn't so great. And, you know, one time I got really mad and I said, don't say it unless you mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask if you don't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be asking your higher self, you know, is it in my highest and best good to blah, 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 if you don't mean it. Just have fun. And if you're not willing to have fun, then do what you want and
mm-hmm.
find something different. Now, those of us who are a little more controlling than others have a tougher time. You know, so the person who is particular about the way they dress or the way they fix their hair or the route they take to work, they have a tougher time because they can't find 40 things in a day.
Yes.
And if you're one of those people, you need to make a list of all the things you are willing to subject yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have a good list of at least 30 so that if you can't think of anything when you're asking random questions, you can look at your list and ask. Now,
yes.
I have had people ask some really oddball things. For example, a man said to me, well, it's not working, and I asked him for his example, and he said, well, I asked about putting on my shoes. And I said, well, you don't live in Hawaii. That's the only place I know of people go around without shoes all day. And he said, well, I was asking whether I should put on my right shoe or my left shoe first. And I said, those are not real questions. You're going to put your shoes on anyway.
Yeah.
You should be asking, should I wear my brown shoes or my black
mm-hmm.
shoes? Or
mm-hmm.
should I be wearing my loafers or my Oxfords or my
yes.
pennies? And again, even though we're using the word should in conversation, it's always higher self. Is it in my highest and best good? Blah, blah, blah. Now, there's one other caveat that I want to go through before we end for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... I want to encourage you to ask questions that are fun and playful, and to remind you that if you're not sure you would follow through with that question, don't ask, because you're only allowed to play during your practice period. This is not the
mm-hmm.
real. This is only practice. And
mm-hmm.
the only way you get good at practice is to not care about the results.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When children learn to color, they don't care about the results.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody grades a child's coloring project until they're in, you know,
mm-hmm.
an adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're giving ourselves permission to do. We're giving
okay.
ourselves permission to play. So you always, always, always say the word higher self. This is because if you just say, is it in my highest and best good, blah, 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 we don't know who's answering. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it's your higher self. Maybe it's an entity that's hanging out. Maybe it's an entity you picked up in the bar when you went to the bar with a friend the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your ego or something going on with your personality or your family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's not going to work if you don't ask higher self. So the protocol is always follow the same formula over and over. Higher self, is it in my highest and best good? Two. And then you can fill in the blank however you want. But it's always a yes-no question. So if it's more than one choice, Then you have to go through it one by one. When you're at a restaurant, this is the best place. You're at a restaurant and you see four or five things that you could eat that you might enjoy eating.
Mm-hmm.
Higher self. Should I have this fish? No. Higher self. Should I have the shrimp? No. Higher self. Is it in my highest and best good to have the steak? Yes. Really? Higher self. Is it my highest and best good to have the steak? Yes. Woo! I don't know. I'm not really that attracted to meat anymore, but
right.
if my higher self told me to do that, I have a feeling my body elemental would be doing the happy dance because maybe my body needs it. I don't know.
Okay.
So
interesting.
It's really follow the protocol. Yeah. So before we close, I'd like to take your questions. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the answer comes from a place that from knowledge that you don't have. Right? The higher self is giving you an answer based on the knowledge it has of your body or of your cravings
exactly.
In order for it to say, no, you need to have meat tonight.
Exactly. And tomorrow we're going to get into what is the higher self and what is the higher self not.
Okay.
And you're going to get a better picture of what your higher self is. This is a very good question. The next time we meet, that we're going to cover that. We're going to get more into some of the protocols. What I can do is make sure you get this list by email tonight, and I'll send it off so you have a list in front of you. You can print it out and take it with you tomorrow wherever you go so you have your little cheat sheet. And if you can't think of anything that you're willing to practice on, then right on the back of this little cheat sheet, your practice list so you know. Higher self, is it my highest and best good to have a cup of coffee now? No. Higher self, is my highest and best good to have a cup of coffee now? Yes. Higher self, is my highest and best good to put milk in it? No. Higher self, is it my highest and best good to put sugar in it? No. Higher self, is it my highest and best good to put any sweetener in it? Yes. Higher self. And see what I mean? Like that. You can be that boring. It's
yes.
All for play.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's all for play.
Mm-hmm.
So. Now, are there other questions you'd like to ask before we close? Because I'm going to do a closing prayer once we're done with questions.
Is there a ritual that we need to perform at the start of this whole process every day in order to connect to our higher self, just the way we did tonight?
I recommend that you take a few minutes and do a similar prayer that I did. You're welcome to listen to the prayer that I did. It'll be on the recording. You can just go right to that and then turn it off when that part's done, if you have to dash off to work. Or you can do your own prayer. If you have the Reweaving book, there's a couple of different prayers in there you can use.
Okay.
The first one is the one that's in the very front of the book, and I will read it to you because it's a lovely prayer, and it's called a morning prayer. And it says, I ask that the full expression of my highest self be ever present with me this day. I ask for the masters, teachers, and guides of me to be ever present this day, and I ask that they be given full access to my four lower bodies. I offer myself in humble gratitude in service to the Great White Brotherhood, legions of 100% God light, and all beings of white light who are here working with me. I ask that this divine guidance assist me and allow me to pursue my soul's highest purpose in this lifetime with the most evolved appearance possible that expresses the kindest, most generous, and gentle way. Amen. So it could be something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also in this book, Reweaving, if you have it, you can use the opening prayer, which is very similar, opening invocation. If you don't have the Reweaving book and you're listening to this recording, you can buy the prayers in this book on audio for $3.95.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the book, we give you the audio for free. And the instructions are in the book on how to get the audio downloaded for free.
Okay.
So those are wonderful ways to start your day with clear intention. And if you're in a really big hurry and you've, you know, you got up late and everything's a little bit turned around, you can simply say, I ask that the morning prayer and every reading book be said on my behalf by my angels. Thank you, God.
Mm.
And just do a shortcut when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just do every chance you get. Higher self, is it in my highest and best good to take my coffee break now?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, but I really got to use the bathroom. No. And you wait. Okay? Maybe a few seconds later, the phone
mm-hmm.
rings. And it's this person you've been trying to reach for the last 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the call, takes you 4 minutes, you're done. Okay, now 5 minutes have gone by. Higher self, is it my highest best good to take my break now? Yep. And you're going to realize later, oh, my God, my higher self saved my you-know-what because
yeah.
I was there when that phone call came in.
Mm-hmm.
I've had stuff like that happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So how marvelous that is.
That is marvelous.
Are you ready for the closing prayer?
Yes.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Mother God, we give thanks for the opportunity to be here, to be together, to be studying together, and to be learning together. We are so grateful for the presence of the angels and the beings of light and for the higher self connection that is growing in our world. We ask that each of us be escorted to an etheric retreat this night, that we might be able to receive further knowledge or understanding or training, whatever might be appropriate for us. We ask that we receive a good night's rest and that we awaken well-rested and refreshed no matter what the night holds. We ask for a most benevolent outcome for this evening, and we ask for and claim a day of heaven on earth for ourselves and everyone we come in contact with for tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Maureen.